Our next speaker is Lee Burris. He's filling in for Yuri Chendev, who did not make it, I guess, from where
Russia.
He was at, from Russia. And so he's going to talk a little bit more about the transformation of soils over time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. As you can see, I'm speaking on behalf of my co-authors, Yuri Chendev and Tom Sauer. And I can't stand by a microphone, so I'm going to have to step away from it. So I'm speaking on behalf of my colleagues. I'm going to put this over here, too. I'll probably change the lights eventually, too. I can't. No, really, so. Anyway, before I talk about what Yuri, I, and Tom Sauer did, and I'm not sure if Tom's here, one of my co-authors or not. I know Yuri's not. I need to acknowledge about a dozen people, too. Some folks from the NRCS were instrumental to helping us find the right site. So that's Mike Kuzik, State Soil Scientist, Ryan Germany, Area Soil Scientist, or Field Soil Scientist. Mark Vittich is with the Iowa DNR Forestry Division, and he was very important to us to make sure we found good native forest sites. And then some ALS personnel and some people like Jessica did a bunch of work on this, too, and some other people. They did a lot of work, so need to acknowledge them. And then with that, I would just sort of like to tell you how I got involved with this project, because I'm not really someone who thought I was going to do this project. But about 2 years ago, Yuri Chendev was awarded, so Dr. Chendev, this gentleman standing right here, was awarded a Fulbright Fellowship he's at Belgrade State University currently. He's a professor there, but to study the dynamics of prairie forest transition in the central United States. And he really wanted to come to Iowa. He felt that tied very well with what work he's been doing in Western Russia for the past 20 years. And he very much wanted to examine cropping impacts on podzols. So this whole idea of taxonomy, the Russians may accept that they may not, but I have to say that in terms of thinking, lots of ideas, a lot of energy, it was a great project. So this is the background. It was Dr. Chendev pulled me into this project. And he's an amazingly energetic guy. I was hoping he'd be here. We wrapped this project up in March. He's already held a symposium at Belgrade State University. So if you read Russian and you want to read all the papers that he and his co-authors did, they're in here. And I got an email from him this morning saying he has a second paper out or working on it. So those are kind of exciting colleagues. Anyway, what was our question? Well, our question was, just as Jessica spoke a few minutes ago, same sort of idea, how has long-term cropping changed the alfalfas of eastern Iowa? So we were specific. We were looking for a classic podzol or an alfalfas, as we might say, and we were very interested in trying to find a site that would match what Dr. Chendev has done in the central Russian upland, where there's forest, there's prairie, and there's actually a savanna, situations where he lives down in southwest Russia. And so we looked at the Iowa map and very much found that we could do a nice project over near Iowa City. So at about 41.5 degrees north latitude, 90 degrees west longitude, a nice project that would work well and be comparable to work he's already done. So that was where we decided to do our question. How did we do it? Well, we did what everyone else here is talking about in terms of long-term change impacts on humans. We tried to figure out what used to be there. So really, Professor Chendev examined every map imaginable. And when I say that, I'm not joking. He went to libraries after library after library. Certainly the web is valuable. But he was looking at every map, and I don't have all my maps here, trying to find where there was forests in the past, where they're currently at, when they were lost, when fields were first introduced. So just everything possible. He's a classical geographer. He looked for everything. Did a great job. Spent a long time doing that. So we looked at every map. From that, again, we decided that over by the Iowa River, over in east central Iowa, there would be some great opportunities where there's still old forest patches, some that have been timbered almost zero, some that have been timbered and are regrowing, different fields. But looked at four sites through field reconnaissance, more intensive review of maps and such, and really plotted out how much were fields, say in red, how much was green, was still in forest, really this is getting into how old the fields were. Are they 150 years old? Are they 100? Are they 50 years? So we did a series of reviews, and again, Yuri gets all this credit for this. Tom and I were largely for the ride. Yuri did a lot of work, did a great job. And from this then, you know, we did what everyone else here does. We used the relevé method to identify the representative location for detailed analysis. We found the best site based on all the knowledge we had, which is just like representative pedons are. We used that approach and we said, we're going to look at this site because we have great maps. It fits all the criteria, very stable landscape, you know, flat, less than 2% slope, map consistently as a Fayette soil. A fine silty, mixed superactive mesotypic haplodelf. We have a field here that we know has been cultivation consistently based on a whole series of maps for 150 years, 110 years, 50 years, and then a minimally disturbed forest stand that still has some of the fairly old, couple hundred year old oak trees standing and such. So it was minimally disturbed. So pretty close to each other, you know, certainly within a kilometer and really less than 500 meters from the furthest point from one to the next. So we looked at this site, and then our approach was very much standard morphology. We just described the soils, dug pits. Yuri's phenomenal at digging pits by hand. This meets all OSHA codes, by the way. We were just describing the morphology using both the Russian and USA system. So where I could describe a horizon like in two lines in my field book, Yuri took like four pages. He's a classical describer. He sees everything. It's really amazing. It's really in-depth. Then we sampled by both systems, really by horizons, but very in-depth, very detailed sampling across here. And then to be sure we were right, extending out about 15 meters, radiating out from the pits we had, we would pull, 1 centimeter diameter, basically 1.5 centimeter diameter hand tubes down to a meter or a little deeper. Look for other features. So trying to do a fairly detailed analysis of what's in pits and then outside of it. And so what did we find? Well, I realize with the lighting it's hard to see, but this, and they all came out a little gray looking, but this is when you describe it, use the color system, beautiful Fayette soil in the forest. Thin Mollick epipedon, a nice E horizon, a BE horizon, and a beautiful BT horizon. And so we could see how deep it was. Certainly we saw evidence of crotovina, other sort of root, other sort of burrowing activity, a variety of thing. Looking for manganese, iron impacts at different depths. Consistently we found about these 5 centimeter deep channel holes throughout the pit, filled in channels you can see here. Again, this is 125 centimeters. So this is what we did at each site. So this is the actual forest site. If we go to a 50-year-old field, we find the Mollick epipedon looks a little different. It's in a pasture right now, but it was arable land. So I should point out that if it's temporarily in pasture and then it was bouncing back between fields, we still use it. We're looking for the best sites. And then, so we would look at the Mollick epipedon, what's the evidence of some sort of biological activity, what are the redox features doing, you know, manganese staining, manganese concretions. By the way, we found at a shallower depth, consistently at about 100 centimeters here, these same sort of 5 centimeter rings running through the system too, for some reason. 110 years of cropping, the Mollick colored epipedon is getting thicker, but still we're just seeing different features, same soils, a little bit different, all looking fairly gray for Fayette, but when we keyed it out, they were good, they were Fayettes, or well-drained. And then in the 150-year-old field, it's an alfalfa field, we found a thicker Mollick yet, but different properties, et cetera. So you can't really see it that well here. But let me sort of summarize it, and really I'm using Yuri's figures through and through here. I'm just going to summarize everything. One thing we found is in red, these are the USA sites, the Iowa sites, we found, no surprise here, that with duration of cropping, the thickness of the Mollick colors increases. So we were finding things get deeper with time. This was very consistent with a couple of studies Yuri has done previously in Belgrade that extended back to 200 years. He has some studies where humans have been impacting sites known for 3,000, 4,000 years, so it's pretty interesting. I would have said structure really was getting weaker. We've gone, just as Jessica described, we've gone from having beautiful granular structure to much more blocky structure. Yuri would interpret it differently, and so I'm using his figure. The epipenal, as it got thicker, the structure was getting more pronounced and deeper. Stronger grade of structure. And he doesn't like the idea of granular, subangular, blocky, angular, blocky. He has a system that describes, you know, 25 different types of structure. Is he right? Am I right? I don't know. But his system, he was arguing in some ways very convincingly. Obviously, I'm putting in here. This was happening. By the way, this is where working with him, and as I talk about high energy, was really a blast. He used his descriptions and then photographs we took from around the pit to look at how much changes has been in burrowing activity. And this one really surprised me. But our photographs show this, our cores show it, the pit descriptions show it. The actual, under forest conditions, this would be whether some sort of burrowing, or really even root channel, I should say, some sort of biological activity, evidence, crotovina, such thing. 50 years, it starts looking like this, 110 years like this, and 150 years. So there's being more and more biological activity to significantly greater depth as we've used these sites for growing crops. So it's really fun, and it's consistent with data Yuri's found. So I have 3 minutes?
Yep.
Piece of cake. Thank you. I only have 20 slides, and I'm on 17. So anyway, porosity change to 1 meter. This is the porosity here. This is porosity after 50 years, porosity after 110 years, porosity after 150 years. We're seeing porosity distribution change in the profile. So I should say the black line is 150 years. This is the original. The porosity's changed. I didn't put the data in here, but something for all of us to think about. And this is data assuming particle density is a constant. We measured particle density. Yuri said, Lee, I want particle density rays. And his English is far better than my Russian, but not always that much better. And I speak no Russian. And I said, no, Yuri, we'll run bulk density. We're fine. He goes, no, I want particle density. And we went through that for a while. And he wanted bulk density in the end, but we actually ran particle density using two different methods. Particle density in the epipedon can be below 2. And that's consistent with the literature of people who've run particle density. So actually, if we put the particle density in here and correct for it, this porosity change is getting a lot bigger even. It's really kind of fun and interesting, but with cropping, particle density was changing. I'm confident it's clay mineral organic interactions going on. But those are changes going on. These iron manganese features, they increase in size with duration of cultivation, and so the individual one gets bigger, and they cover more area total by the end. So all these changes are happening to a meter and a half depth, and we had a lot of data to support it. And actually, what's really fun is all the horizon shift. This is not labeled, but these would be like BT. The horizons are shifting deeper. So it's really kind of interesting when we do horizons. And all these changes are consistent with what Dr. Chindoff has seen in Belgrade area of Russia. And so in the end, the conclusion would be that I make is the Fayette soil, it's evolved with cultivation. And this evolution is much more involved and more interesting than simply saying the obvious thing. Oh, mollic colors have gotten deeper. That's the most boring part of it. Actually, everything else has changed. And so we've seen some significant changes in the soil, and it's a lot of fun. So thank you.
Thank you, Lee. Okay, I think there's a question. Do we have time for a question?
Yes.